Hello, everyone, and welcome to Introvert Talk Sundays, where we dive deep into topics that matter most to introverts. I'm your host, Michaela Chung, introvert coach, writer, and creator of introvertspring.com, a website that helps introverts quietly revolutionize the way they see themselves. And today I'm very excited to be having special guest Brendan Knowles joining us to talk about introverts and intimacy. Brenda has been an introvert internet friend of mine for a few months now, so I'm absolutely delighted to be chatting with her today. I know she has an abundance of wisdom to share with us on this topic. So before I bring Brenda on the line, I just want to tell you a little bit more about her. Brenda Knowles is the creator of spacetolive.net, a site about introversion, relationships, and intimacy. Through her own personal stories and those shared by readers, she helps introverts and their partners understand and enhance their relationships. She's a certified Myers-Briggs practitioner and trained family mediator. In her private world, she's a sensitive, sensual suburban mom with a penchant for meaningful experiences and multifaceted people. Brenda is currently working on a book based on her experience as a deep-feeling introvert and recently signed a contract to publish her writing internationally. Very exciting. I can tell you from reading Brenda's popular blog that this is going to be a book you won't want to miss. So, without further ado, I would like to bring Brenda on the line to share her wisdom on the juicy topic of introvert intimacy and relationships. Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Good. Hi, I'm Kayla. Thank you for having me on. I'm good.
You're welcome. It's great to have you. So how about you introduce yourself and tell everyone a little more about your website, spacetolive.net, and why you're so passionate about this topic of introvert intimacy.
Okay, sure. I'd love to. I have to tell you, I discovered as I was kind of doing research to prepare for this that this is my topic. I'm very excited about it. I'm very interested and fascinated with intimacy, as you know, and I talk about it a lot in my posts. But this is just something that really is right up my alley. So I'm grateful for this chance to talk about it. Space to Live itself has three premises that I really love to get across. One is that you're not alone as a sensitive introvert and the way you feel and the way you live. There's nothing wrong. And the second one is there's nothing wrong with you because of this rich inner world that you experience and the issues maybe they have with having this busy mind and living in a more extroverted world. And then lastly, I just want my readers to know that they have, you know, amazing gifts that come along with introversion. Mm-hmm. So I hope to empower them as they read my posts and realize that there's a different way to look at the way we experience the world and look at it positively. And because I am myself a sensualist and a romantic, and I just have a fascination with relationships. I really like talking about intimacy, and I love doing research, and I love asking people questions about the relationships. So I think that's why.
Absolutely.
To talk about our subject today.
Absolutely, yes, and I am also a romantic. Brenda and I are both INFPs.
Right.
Right.
For being warm and romantic. Yeah. Yeah.
Emotional.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes. All those good, yummy things.
Yes. Good. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot of people hold the belief that introverts are too closed off and that we have a shell-like armor around us that makes it difficult for us to be intimate with others. People are constantly saying, you need to come out of your shell. You can't be so closed off. So what are your thoughts on this, Brenda? Are introverts capable of truly intimate relationships?
Absolutely, yes. The difference, I think, between us and maybe extroverts, those who are dominantly extroverted, is that we kind of have an ebb and flow in our relationship styles and the needs that we have. in an intimate relationship. We generally need some space to ourselves or in a small group or just in solitude, I guess, which would be to ourselves, to come back to ourselves, to sort of feel whole and go through our process of sorting out thoughts and looking at our impressions and just returning to ourselves. But then once we've done that, when we're full and kind of, it's almost like we're full of love and energy, we want to connect with others. We want that intimate connection, and so we will seek it out. And it's kind of strange. People might not understand that, but time away from our partners makes us want them. You know, it makes us miss them. We need time alone to quiet our buzzing, ever-active minds, and stillness gives us this energizing space that allows us to expand and makes room for new stimulation and ideas and relationships. When I kind of get a session of stillness to myself, it helps me remember what I love about people. It allows that connection craving to surface. I'm always grateful for the time I get during the day to myself when my kids are at school. And if I'm dating someone, they're generally at work. So I get that time and I fill up. And then I'm ready to give to them, you know, the people in my life, my partner or whoever. And it's perfect. If I don't get that time, I could be kind of cloudy headed and irritable. And I may kind of hoard my energy because I don't have a lot stored up because I haven't had time to myself. So it's this introvert cycle that is a little tricky, but it isn't, you know, it is, you can navigate it and have an intimate relationship. You just have to sort of work this this ebb and flow in. And you do that by creating boundaries. You need to use direct language, probably establish your time for space that you need. That's sometimes hard for us because being very direct or assertive can feel like conflict, and conflict is really stimulating. But I've kind of used the example before in my own relationships where I say, think of my time alone as an overseas business trip I'm going on. I'm not accessible, but it's something I have to do. It's not something personal. It's not a rejection of you, my partner. It's something I have to do, and I will return, and this is when. So if we can kind of create boundaries and give specifics, I think it's workable. It's workable to have relationships and, you know, respect our needs for space. But then when we return, be just, you know, absolutely full and ready to be present and open and intimate with our partner.
Absolutely. And I like how you put it about, or how you emphasized the idea of boundaries and explaining it in a way that your partner can comprehend, because a lot of extroverts have great difficulty understanding our need to be alone. And so if we don't explain it, then they end up feeling rejected and hurt. This is a big problem in relationships, right? And then we feel guilty, and so it's a vicious cycle. So if we can set those boundaries ahead of time, then we prevent a lot of those problems and that overstimulating conflict that you were talking about.
You made a good point about doing it early in the relationship, because if you let it go and your boundaries are mushy in the beginning, it's that much harder to kind of fortify those later, because we've already set a precedent and our partner is not going to understand. So it is smart to do it, you know, as soon as you can. And again, it's not always easy, because it does feel like we're being sort of assertive and or maybe even standoffish, you know, to our significant other. Well, what do you mean? You already are going to tell me you don't want to be with me. Well, no, this is me, and this is, if you want the best me, this is what I need.
Absolutely. And another point I wanted to add to was when you were talking about how When we create that space, then it makes us want to come closer. When we're energized, it makes us miss them and right. want them. It's kind of the way I like to think of it is the rubber band effect. So when you create that space and the tension and the pull of the rubber band, then it will, if it's right, then it will fling you back towards them when you're feeling energized and if they're receiving and if they give you that space.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, I agree. I like that metaphor. The rubber band. Perfect.
Yes. So what specific expectations would you say introverts tend to have for an intimate relationship?
Okay, excellent question. I have a quote that I found from the book Quirky Alone by Sasha Kagan. It's a good one for introverts if anybody is interested. Mm-hmm. But she says, for the quirky alone, there's no patience for dating just for the sake of not being alone. We want a miracle. Out of millions, we have to find the one who will understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of touches on what introverts are often looking for in a relationship. We want something pretty amazing because we have this alternative option, which is being alone or being with ourselves, mm-hmm. which I still, in my heart, I believe most of us introverts want to connect with others. We want to be in a relationship. We are interested in that just as much as, you know, being alone or having our solitude too. Sorry, I'm getting a call. we crave that intimate understanding. We think, please, please, please get me. Know the respect I need. Love the same stories I do. Talk with me in fluid two-way exchanges, you know, that leave us both feeling adored and heard. That's the kind of understanding we want because often in our day-to-day lives, we don't feel that. It's sort of we're sort of the second fiddle, you know, playing out because we have such an extroverted culture here in the West. And so to find a partner who really gets us, it's just, you know, heady and amazing. But those expectations can be high. And sometimes that's difficult. I know I've been dating for the last couple of years after my divorce, and yeah, I go in with, you know, I want this extraordinary person that meets all these points, but that's sometimes a little crazy, and I've been tempered, you know, by men I've dated, and they've said, you know, that's not obtainable. And I agree to some point, but again, I kind of always have this, well, I can be okay alone. I get a lot out of experiences and things myself. But when I do consider a relationship, I'm looking, I have several points that I guess I'm kind of looking for, and these are sort of my expectations. And these are personal, but I think they're relevant for a lot of us. I love the introspective person. I like deep thinkers and people, even if they're like, you know, people who work, men who work with their hands or things, if they just like to go in their heads or, you know, and think and think, that's attractive to me. And as an introvert, it's nice to find someone who has a willingness to help and be supportive. If they're looking for scintillating conversation and extraordinary sex, then we're going to need to have some help with the daily grind and routines because we conserve our energy all the time. Introverts are, you know, always considering how this interaction or whatever activity is affecting our energy output because we have a finite supply. It flows out during interaction. So it's nice to have someone who's, you know, willing to kind of work with us on some of the, like, you know, we have a lot of outflow of energy at work. When we come home to do more work, it's nice if someone's to share with you. And then, again, the respect and validation. We often feel inferior when we're out in the world, so it's nice to have somebody who values our our introspection, our ability to advise and concentrate, and makes us feel like an equal. So that validation and understanding is key. We're always looking, and again, this is kind of the same in the same vein. We were looking for deep, deep emotional intimacy. We want to get each other. We load our conversations with thought-provoking ideas and vulnerable admissions, and we want to look at the world the same. We love someone who intuitively understands our hurts, our needs, our loves, our aspirations. We communicate with them with ease. Deep connection is what we're, you know, an expectation that we really, really strive for. And then, of course, like I mentioned just a minute ago, the understanding of the need for space and connection, that cycle. Sensuality is always, you know, plays a part in sexuality. We, as introverts, have generally, based on research, have fewer sexual partners. So we want it to be mind-blowing if we can. It's difficult for us to do casual because of that emotional energy output. So it's another expectation. It needs to be really good. We're not just going to be with some. We won't settle easily. And then I think because of our energy output and during interactions, that we're looking for somebody with positive energy. And it is possible to energize us and interact with us. And a lot of times that has to do with the emotional connection, the emotional intimacy. So
yes, that is a great point. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's hard to pinpoint why sometimes a certain person can totally energize us and make us feel great, and then another person will completely drain us.
Right.
So yes, emotional intimacy, and that I love how you said fluid two-way exchange. It's not one way. It's not us just absorbing and listening,
right?
Which can so often be the case as introverts.
Right.
We just end up
being the listener, because we're good at it, and we're encouraging. But that can be a wait after a while. You know, it's like, wait, my turn. I want to express myself and be heard as well. So, there needs to be a two-way thing, and not always us being the one absorbing others' energy. It needs to go back and forth. And
yes, during one of I just was reminded of during my last webcast, one of the men asked a question about dating, and he was asking, you know, what's the right approach? Like, what can I say on a first date with a woman? And like, how should I set myself apart, I guess? And what I was saying was, well, actually, just listening will set you apart, because I'm someone like you, Brenda, who goes on a lot of dates. I go on a lot of dates with actually very exceptional men. If you think if you're a woman listening and you think there are no good men in the world, you're wrong. There are many, many exceptional men out there. But the hard part is finding a man who will respect that fluid two-way exchange or facilitate it, and who will truly take an interest in you and listen, really listen. That's hard to find.
What a good feeling when you find that, you know, it's like, you're validated and, you feel heard. Yeah, that's an amazing thing to run into. I think I have the same, I feel exactly the same way, but I also love it when a man or someone you're with, I guess this man could set himself apart by being a little bit vulnerable. You know, making a little bit of an admission that shows he is open to a deep discussion, or, you know, some of that emotional intimacy. Because for me, that's a big turn on. I mean, it sounds funny to say that, but if they're capable of a depth, you know, of revealing, that to me is unusual, because not a lot of people can do that. It does take courage to do that. So I guess that's why it's, you know, appealing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know we're going to talk about that issue, the topic of emotional intimacy and vulnerability a bit more. Before we dive into that, I just wanted to mention how much I love the first quote that you shared at the beginning is how we want a miracle. We want a miracle.
Right.
Another thing I like to say is, you know, I'm looking for a flame, not just a warm blanket.
Oh,
so yeah,
right. No, that's right. I know. I mean, it sounds kind of elitist to say, but there's just a little bit of extraordinary that we want, and I guess that is because we don't have to be in a relationship. We are. We'd rather not be in one than be in a bad one. So we can be a little choosy, I guess. But we all get lonely. I'm not saying we don't want to be with someone, to find the miracle or someone who understands. Mm-hmm. It's just that, and like you said, I've been fortunate enough too. I have met some really good men, and but I think that I found them because I have been very open with what I want, and I've learned over time what I do want. So when you put that out there, then you have a tendency to attract people who are a better fit, or someone like what you're looking for. So
exactly,
be honest and open, what you're looking for, and be yourself, and very much be yourself. So then you will attract the high quality people that you could be very deeply interested in.
Exactly, and when you're crystal clear on anything in life, like when you get really crystal clear on what you want, that's when those things start showing up in your life. You have to know exactly what you want.
Right.
Okay, so now let's dive deep into emotional intimacy. What is emotional intimacy, first of all, and what does it mean for introverts?
Okay. Let's see. Well, this is kind of my definition of what emotional intimacy is. It's just a big list of things. Emotional intimacy is sharing heart stories or broken stories and tales of exquisite joy. It's being fully seen and known. It's the closest you can get to someone non-physically. It's finding meaning as communication flows between you. It's risking vulnerability and growing stronger because of it. It's interactions with feelings attached. It's the most amazing and best foreplay. It's giving without depleting. It's sharing truth without fear of rejection. And it's extending yourself and in the extension expanding just exponentially. And it's, what else? My last is it's a two-way connection where you feel heard and nourished, like we were kind of talking about earlier. But that's my list of what emotional intimacy is. And that's for one of my posts, so that's why I have it all.
That covers it very well.
Yeah, so that's what it is. And what does it mean to introverts? Well, we dwell in our inner worlds, often. So these feelings and impressions that we get during emotional intimacy, they fuel us. They fuel our existence. It's really almost the only thing equal to delicious solitude in its ability to rejuvenate and nourish our internal lives. It's what kind of gives us, like, if we have emotional intimacy with someone special, a partner or intimate partner, this is basically intertwining our inner worlds, which for us is just this huge feast because our inner worlds are so rich, and it's just an amazing thing to share. So,
absolutely. And an important thing to emphasize is that when we are feeling lonely, like when we've had enough solitude and we're actually to the point of loneliness, what we really want as introverts is not just to find anyone to spend time with, not to be in a crowd or to be with just anyone. What we really want is that emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to us and it will allow us to feel fulfilled and to enjoy our solitude while also not getting to those, to the more negative feelings of loneliness.
Right, right, absolutely. And then when we go back into solitude, we can think about a wonderful emotional intimacy that we experience.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of all blends together after a while. But yeah, but no, there actually are two separate realms there. But anyway, it's wonderful.
Yes. No, it's funny how you say that, because it makes me think of, yeah, whenever I've had, I've really connected with a man emotionally, I need some time to be alone to process it.
Right.
And to think about it.
Right.
Back
and that can be positively stimulating, you know, to us as the actual interaction, I think, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like, reliving it in our minds is exciting and, I don't know, makes us feel good.
Absolutely, yes. And going back to how you said in your definition that emotional intimacy is about risking vulnerability, I like to say to call it getting emotionally naked, because that's how it feels.
Right.
Like you're getting naked.
Right, right.
So
it's very much
scary.
Exposing yourself and revealing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
So, of course, you don't want to do it with just anyone,
no.
But you do, you got to do it with the,
right.
with the important people,
it.
Right?
Right, right. Yeah, you desire it, but yeah, you've got to be, it takes someone special to make it work, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Be selective. Yeah, just like
yes.
physical intimacy, right.
Exactly, which is a great segue into, so we've talked about getting naked emotionally, so now we can talk about getting naked physically. So we're going to chat a little bit about the topic of intimacy that's more taboo, which of course is sex. Sex! How does physical intimacy affect us as introverts, and what creates the best sex for introverts specifically?
Okay, perfect. So much to say about this. just to sort of link it with the emotional intimacy, for one last little thing here, both physical and emotional intimacy do sort of need this high level of trust, in my opinion. So I just think trust is a common link between the two. And if there is emotional intimacy and a safety, then it's a lot easier to move into a physical relationship, I think, as well. But let's see. Physical intimacy, well, I adore physical intimacy, but I've been in relationships when I didn't. And the difference, I think, between, you know, incredible physical connection and not is this emotional intimacy piece. If there isn't any emotional intimacy, physical intimacy sex is just, it's sex, it's not meaningful, it's not making love, it's just sex. And I end up feeling, you know, that's like an empty feeling, if that's the case. Emotional intimacy is my favorite foreplay, as I think I've listed in there. The best physical intimacy, I think, requires a sensuality about it, a sort of a really deep presence with being with your partner. Just kissing for a long time can be very sensual and just, you know, raise the experience to this ultimate level. If you're very present and enjoy the sensual end of it. I always say I'm sensual and not slutty I'm very selective, like we were saying, about who I am with physically, and I love people who are into enjoying things deeply, like food even, or nature or music, just really experiencing those things. And I think sex kind of, it falls into that category where so dynamic and rich sensually that it can be just incredible or extraordinary if you take the time to experience it deeply. And then obviously if there's emotional intimacy as well, it's just, you know, the sky's the limit. I wrote a post a while ago basically saying that I didn't make love until I was in my 40s. And that was because in the previous relationships I was in, I didn't feel safe enough to be emotionally vulnerable, to be my real self. And part of that was my own doing, because I didn't even know who I was. I didn't have the self-awareness about introversion, about being sensitive, and all those things. But I knew that I felt I was different in a more inferior way because I couldn't do a lot of things and take a lot of stimulation, and I wasn't, you know, the leader of the group very often, and I was more of a listener and observer. So anyway, because I had that sort of fear, I wasn't comfortable being really open with my lovers or within my relationship. So it took me a long time, but I finally found, you know, a partner who I did feel safe with, and I did have a lot of emotional intimacy, and, you know, there's nothing like it. So when I was closed off and not so open, I actually robbed my partners of having that same, you know, openness and experience, because then if I wasn't vulnerable, they're not going to feel like they can be. So it's limiting.
Absolutely. And I just want to share my experience with that is, yeah, I completely agree that as women especially, I find, introverted women even more so, sex really becomes better as we get older and we feel more comfortable with ourselves. We let go of the limiting beliefs from our past where we thought we were too quiet to deserve love, and that we weren't sexy because we were not as gregarious and flirtatious.
Right.
When we let go of that and we just truly embrace who we are, that's when we can really be vulnerable, be open in the bedroom, and really enjoy sex and that physical intimacy.
Right. Yes.
And also, I wanted to just, I can't really speak too much to the men because I don't have that perspective, the sensuality perspective of the man. But for the women, you can practice this. You can tap into your sensuality, even if you don't have a partner. You know, one thing that really helped me a lot was I got really into salsa dancing. It's a very sensual dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was really religious, so I had, you know, for several years I was religious, so I had kind of oppressed my sensuality and kind of thought of it as something bad. So dancing,
so
embracing that
really opened you up. Dancing, music, food, and cooking even I found to be very sensual, and it's sort of freeing, when you really allow yourself to get into it, to get lost in it. Then, it just gives you an added facet, I think, and then you can bring that to, you know, a sexual relationship when the time's right. So, good.
Yes, and one more message to introverted women in particular is, it's okay to embrace that you're sexy and beautiful, and to say to yourself, I am a beautiful, sensual goddess. I am growing more luminous and beautiful by the day. I exude infinite sensual energy. Like, those are some of my mantras. It's okay to say that and to embrace that about yourself. It's not a naughty thing.
Right. Well, I think when you do that, there's this light that emits from you. You kind of radiate the love and the light, and that's really attractive to people, you know, to a partner. So, and I think men can do that too if they can be very open and warm, and same thing. I was thinking about one of my partners that I had was obviously in my case a man, and when we were sexually intimate, I gave him a very safe space to be vulnerable, and I can't tell you how much that meant to him. I mean, it just opened him up. And when we were together, and when we made love, I mean, it was for both of us a just incredible experience. So giving someone else that safe space, and I mean, which I think we all kind of know, I mean, but as an introvert, he was an introvert as well, just being able to really feel safe and secure, you know, just helped him expand and just... For both of us. So, I don't know.
And how exactly did you provide that safe space?
I think, I don't know, maybe it's an INFP thing, but we're always pretty open and not judgmental for most people I know. I pretty much walk through life, like, letting people, you know, I always am telling my kids, live and let live. You know, if religious practices, with sexual orientation, everything, I'm pretty open. But when he and I would be alone together, you know, he would tell me personal things about his past relationships, even with his body. You know, he felt comfortable enough, and I'm not sure exactly how I made him feel that comfortable, other than I just, very sweet and warm, and I guess listening, you know, I'm very open to listening. He's able to tell me just even where I'd like to be touched on his body and things, so that, you know, the physical vulnerability.
Yes, I do think that introverts can be especially good at creating that safe space of truly listening, stepping back, and not being judgmental. So I'm glad that you were able to explain that to everyone.
Right. Well, I think it was, which encouraged a level of trust, because, and also we dated for, you know, quite a while, and there was just that consistency that, you know, we were there for each other, so we just felt safe too. So that's just another point of, you know, we did have a level of trust. And like I said, because he had read some of my writing, he'd seen that, you know, my vulnerability in my writing. So it's like, well, if she can say that and be pretty open and put it out there, then I'm going to tell her this. You know, I can
yes.
do it this way too. So that helped.
Maybe
you should write letters to your lover and put everything out there, so they can. Sometimes it's easier for us introverts to put things in writing instead of trying to talk and express ourselves. So
maybe everyone should just start their own blog and force everyone who's interested in them to read it.
Right. Yeah. I didn't really address how it affects us, or did you ask me about what creates the best sex?
Yes.
I can't remember if you asked that in the beginning or not.
I did.
Okay. Well, physical intimacy, obviously it affects us, because even though it's a physical thing, it still engages our inner world, you know, a lot. I think our brains, you know, they say the brain is the largest sex organ. Well, for introverts, I think that's even more the case. Because we're very cerebral, you know, or we're in our heads a lot. So if you can turn us on, engage our minds, that's, you know, you're golden. So I did a survey on Space to Live a while ago about, you know, about sexuality and how our introversion affects that. And according to the survey, which I had about 530 respondents on, a key ingredient to a healthy sexual relationship is emotional intimacy, and that got 57% of the vote. And coming up in second place was security or feeling loved, and that had 33% of the vote. So those are the two top, you know, factors for having a healthy sexual relationship. Now, I know one of the condom companies did a survey, and those were also two of their key ingredients to a healthy sexual relationship, but they also added physical attraction. And in my survey, physical attraction was just not that big of a player in the healthy sexual relationship thing. Trying to think.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was, let's see, physical attraction got 7% vote, so.
Seven?
Not a seven, yes, seven.
Wow.
Seven, that's it. so it, I just thought that was interesting. And then a second question I asked was, could you be sexually attracted to someone if there is not a deep emotional connection? And 31% of the respondents said no, that they would not be sexually attracted to someone unless there was a deep emotional connection. Mm. And 53% said that they could be. So it sounds like, or basically the outcome is that introverts can be sexually attracted to someone without being emotionally connected, but they don't take that next step to actually be physically active, you know, or sexually active with someone. They can be attracted, but not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked about the most exquisite sex you've ever had and if it was with an introvert or an extrovert. And the respondents, basically, the answers came up even. So,
mm-hmm.
So we're both amazing. So that's good. You know, both and outies are, you know, got it going on in bed. So that's always good. But an interesting thing was that 29% of the respondents said that they'd never had exquisite sex. So I'm sure some of the respondents maybe were young, you know, people that haven't experienced that yet, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, I'm sure, others who just haven't hit the jackpot yet. So there's still hope, you know, like we were saying, as you get older, you get more comfortable in your own skin, and it's,
mm-hmm.
it's easier.
Lot of it has to do with you.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, and then I asked in the survey when you're most physically affectionate. And 47% of those surveyed said they're most physically affectionate after they've had an intimate conversation with their partner.
Uh-huh.
And that was the highest percentage that mm-hmm. got the most vote. 30% said that they're most physically affectionate after having time to themselves. So as an introvert, you know, as introverts, it's not a big surprise. If we have time to recharge, then we really want to, you know, then we're filled up and want to let some of that spill out, you know, onto with people that we're, you know, attracted to. So anyway,
yes, absolutely.
It's that. That's all the kind of points I had from the survey. But and then I mentioned just sort of being sensually sensitive is another way that maybe we can be affected by, you know, that introversion affects our physical intimacy or physical attraction.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And like you and I both said, the dancing, or just the way our minds work and how deeply we process things, just kind of giving it that extra heightened experience just can make it, like you said earlier, mind-blowing or extra special. So.
Yeah.
That's a bonus for us. I know there are extroverts that can have obviously mind-blowing sex as well. And but I just think when our minds are engaged that we really, really get an extra kind of boost of, I don't know, just in-depth experience.
Yeah, it's a deeper experience, more intense. Mm-hmm. I completely agree, and I think my answers would be the same as the ones in your survey, pretty much physical attraction, I think, is important to everyone, but mm-hmm. probably if it's only physical attraction, then it's just not enough, is what
right.
What the survey says, really.
Right.
So I just wanted to go back to the topic of emotional intimacy and talk about how we can actually connect to our own emotions so that we can create and express them, so we can create more intimacy, emotional intimacy. So one of the ways that we can do this is, of course, to look at our emotions, to allow ourselves to actually pause instead of hiding them, stuffing them down, take a look at them, observe them, and actually sit with your emotions for a certain amount of time. And it's observe them without judging them, without judging them as wrong and without saying this is stupid or I feel bad about this. So just observe them. And I can say, actually from experience, that meditation helps you to do this, really helps you to do this. Changes the way your brain functions so that you stop being so reactive in your interactions, and instead you go into the more rational part of your brain and you observe without judging. You become more objective.
I used to have a more regular meditation practice, but I've gotten away from it. But you give me good reason to get back to it.
Yes, here's a reminder for you.
Yeah.
And another thing you can do is you can say to yourself when you're actually looking at your emotions is, okay, I feel sad or I feel confused or whatever you feel. I feel this feeling, but I'm okay. So that allows you to acknowledge it, but at the same time move past it and kind of release the charge of it.
Right.
So it's,
right.
Yeah.
It dampens it a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. And I could see where meditation would have some help with that, too. It gives you,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it lets you be the observer. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece of this is, how can you actually express your emotions in an authentic, introvert-friendly way? I think this is something that a lot of introverts struggle with, and I used to struggle with a lot because, you know, we need time to process, and as it is, it's hard for us to come up with the right thing to say at the right time. So with that in mind, you might think, okay, well, maybe introverts just aren't cut out for expressing their emotions, like, in the moment. But I have to say that's not the case. We can actually have an advantage when it comes to sharing our emotions, because when it comes to expressing how you feel, less is actually more. So fewer words are better.
Okay.
I'll just explain this a little bit more. Think of a time when you're in the heat of the moment and you are experiencing those scary emotions, those ones that where you don't want the other person to know, you feel ashamed of them. And you know, in heat of the moment, most people will either retract and hide it. They'll choke back their tears. They'll completely hide it. They'll close off. Or they'll say a whole bunch and they'll start accusing and repeating themselves over and over again. And so, I mean, the first scenario doesn't work, obviously, because nothing is coming to the surface, and stuff it down, it becomes explosive. And the second scenario is overwhelming for the other person, and it's not very constructive, because really they have to wade through all of this other stuff you've said to get to how you're feeling. And oftentimes you don't even say how you're really feeling. You just keep on outlining the problem and making accusations.
Right. I know I've done both. Yeah. I know
me too.
I've done both. And sometimes I have a hard time getting to my point, especially if I'm upset or, you know, there's something important that I really want to say, but it is the heat of the moment. Yeah. I'll just sort of talk and not really get to a good, you know, piece of clarity to make it work. But yeah, you're right. And a lot of times you can be hurtful at what you say. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So one thing that I always have said before, I always recommend, because it's so important, is of course to use I feel statements only use I feel statements, to completely take out of the equation them and what they've done, It just turn it all back to how you are feeling, and you can be so, so simple about it and only use very few words.
Right.
So I'll give you, like, the easy ones that you can do that you can practice on a daily basis are just saying how you feel in the moment. I feel sad. I feel happy. I feel excited. I feel inspired. Mm-hmm. And then some other ones that are a little, you know, maybe moments when you feel a little bit scared to say something and you're a little uncomfortable with your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, I feel afraid. I feel awkward. I feel overwhelmed. I feel frustrated. And that's all you have to say. And if you feel like there's more you can add, then of course you can, but that alone will have a huge impact, and it will really help the other person understand where you're at.
Right.
And then going into the even more difficult emotions to express, you can say, I feel hurt. I feel deeply hurt. I feel rejected. That is a scary one,
mm-hmm.
but you can say it. You
mm-hmm.
can say it. I feel rejected. I feel disappointed. I feel foolish. I feel like a fool.
Right.
I feel embarrassed.
Right.
And the other thing is, too, that oftentimes we actually don't know what we're feeling at the time, and we just need to process it. But
right.
sometimes we don't have that space where, you know, we're in a moment where we're face-to-face with it, and we can't get away and process it.
Right.
So, yeah.
You
right.
can start with those. Well, I think those are all great statements that will diffuse sort of the heat, I think, of the
mm-hmm.
moment, too. If you make an admission and say something as vulnerable as, I feel rejected, the other person should be respectful enough to not attack, you know, or go, you know, the opposite way. That should be, okay, we're both laying down our swords, you know. Let's,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Let's talk about this and be open and emotionally intelligent and intimate, you know, with
mm-hmm.
this, where we are. So, no, I think those are all great,
mm-hmm.
courageous and strong things to say, you know, in the moment, and very mature, too, so if you can.
It is, and a lot of people do not do it. It will set you apart from everyone else,
right.
and it's
exactly.
very effective. I use it. I've used it often, and it truly creates emotional intimacy. And the other thing is, it's okay for you to say, you know, in the heat of the moment, I feel overwhelmed. I'm just processing this right now. I just need a moment to process this.
Right.
And then you can take that moment, and you can be
right.
quiet. You can that gives you the space, and they'll
right.
know.
I've learned
sit there
since my marriage and it ended, even now when I work and do some things, you know, make decisions with my ex-husband, I have learned to say, I need to think about it. I never felt
mm-hmm.
like that was acceptable before, because I felt like that was like I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't smart enough to have an answer right away. But now I know that it's perfectly fine to say, I need to think about it. Because
mm-hmm.
we do process everything so deeply, and we've got to kind of untangle everything. That's, you know, perfectly logical and acceptable to say, but sometimes, you know, it didn't feel that way for a long time. But
yes, exactly. So we're
yeah,
giving you permission,
yeah.
everybody.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. Take this. Take it, be, you know, take the permission and run, go with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, those are just some things that I wanted to touch on before we wrap up.
Good.
We do
excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. We do
practical
only have
practical help. Yeah, that's great.
Exactly. And we do only have just a few more minutes, so we can only answer a couple of questions that have come up. So the first question about intimacy and relationships is from Cecilia in California, and she asks, how do you know when an extrovert or introvert, so anyone, is worthy of opening ourselves up to? So how do you know when to trust and when to be cautious?
That's a great question. Do you want me to take that one?
Yeah, go ahead, Brenda. Okay. It's all yours.
Okay. Sorry about that. Well, I do know as an introvert that sometimes it does take us longer to open up to people. We tend to be very private. I personally am not. I have to kind of hold myself back and not overshare. But I know a lot of my readers and many other introverts I know, like, I want to be pretty private. So it's a great question about when can you really reveal yourself and be vulnerable and be, you know, trust someone. I think when you have some boundaries established, like you've known someone long enough that you can be you, they know what's pushing you out of your comfort zone, what's pressing up against your core values and maybe invading that space or sort of pushing you beyond your comfortable boundaries. If they know that and respect it and you've witnessed that in the past, I think trust and safety is pretty much there. Boundaries feel limiting, but ultimately, they actually allow for more intimacy because they've kind of created a line, and you've shown your own self-awareness, what you want, who you are, and that other person has then the chance to respect that and put up against it. A lot of times, for me, I'm pretty intuitive. So if I get a negative vibe from someone, if I don't feel like they're respectful, or I've heard them talk about other people, it will take me a long time to open up to them, if at all. And then I always kind of pay attention to how much energy have they invested into me.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a good listener? Do they want to spend time with me and listen? Do they ask me questions that are that show they care about me and they have a real interest in me? And especially if they're an introvert and they're willing to invest time and energy to me, then you know, that makes it a lot easier to,
mm-hmm.
to be trusting, feel safe.
Absolutely.
To open up. I don't know if that answers that enough, but those are sort
yep.
of the gauges I use.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, and I think that mostly covers it. You gotta be selective with who you get emotionally naked with. You know,
right.
Not everyone is
right.
worthy of our vulnerability, so that is something to keep
right.
in mind. So it is a good question.
Right, and I do think if we do venture out and trust someone and be vulnerable and it backfires, we get emotionally flooded and can kind of ruminate on that for a long time. So we do have to be very selective about who
mm-hmm.
we reveal ourselves to, who we get naked with. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep.
But we just, like I said, have those boundaries in place and make sure there's respect there.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the next question is from Victoria in Grand Prairie, Alberta, which is in Canada.
Yeah.
There's a guy, this one is one that both Brenda and I get a lot. Something similar to this is, there's a guy I like at my work, and he already knows that I like him. I told him about this 3 months ago. He's really an introverted guy and shy, kind of a nerd too, and he's never had a girlfriend, so I think he's a virgin. He's 19, and he said he is not interested in me, but I think he's just scared and nervous. What should I do? So, oh, my goodness. This has to be – usually I don't know if Victoria – she didn't say if she's an extrovert or an introvert, but usually I get this question from extroverted women, and they want to know it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is it – should I still pursue him? Because – he's an introvert. He's shy, so maybe he needs some help. And this is what I say: tough love. No, no, no. You should not pursue him. And here is why. Okay, first of all, if he's just introverted, that doesn't mean that he's shy, that's no excuse for him not to pursue you. And if he's shy, then that's something that he will have to overcome if he wants to land an awesome woman like yourself. Because, okay, here's the second part of it. If you pursue him, then you're putting yourself in the position of always being the one who's pursuing and dominating and controlling, and he will be in the put in the position of wanting to kind of either let you do everything or him wanting to get away from you, because that actually repels men. When you are always like moving towards them and demanding things and being the dominant one, it repels most men. Right. So it's not a comfortable, natural dynamic for most men and women. Right. So what I recommend instead is, especially if he said he's not interested, then whatever the reason that he's not interested or whatever the reason that he's not pursuing you, even if it is because he's shy, then really respect that and respect yourself by just moving on and opening yourself up to all of the men who might actually be interested in you, who might actually step up and pursue you. That's what matters. So move out of the space of analyzing why he's not pursuing you. Stop asking why and just accept that he is not. And let it go.
Right.
And be open to other men flirting with you. Allow other men to ask you out on dates. Accept dates with other men, even if you're not that interested. And that is the fastest way, actually, that if he is actually interested in you and he's just, you know, not stepping up to the plate, then if he sees that you are a woman who respects herself, values herself, and is actually in high demand by other men, then if he's capable, he will step up to the plate. And if he's capable and interested, he will step up to the plate.
Right. Yeah. No, I think so too. I can't remember. Did she say that she has approached him and maybe tried to start something? I don't know.
Well, I think she did, because he told her he wasn't interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I like your point about shy does not equal introvert, because that's, you know, we're trying to get away from that correlation. But if he's introverted, if he's interested, he would let you know, especially if she made it clear that she was interested. You know, we might be more reserved, but if we're interested, most of the time to make it known. But I do know there are some introverted men who, you know, might be more quiet and hang back and be a little terrified of women, or, you know, especially maybe a more assertive woman. If she's already approached him and he's so darn interested, I think that probably took a lot of energy for him to say that. I'm not interested.
Yes.
That's hard to say to someone. So if he said that. But sometimes if he hadn't said that, I would advise her to maybe approach him gently, you know, maybe a little texting or email or whatever they could do. Could even do it under the, you know, guise of a work thing, you know, a work email or something, but then add a little note at the bottom, are you doing anything this weekend or something, you know, just in general. But it sounds like they've already went through that dance maybe a little bit, and he let her know.
I like to think of the best approach as being in a place of allowing and openness as opposed to a place of pursuing. You'll see, Victoria, when you tell yourself, I'm going to be open to all men, I'm going to accept dates with all men, and you are in a place of allowing men to approach you, and when you are interacting with them, just being open and flirtatious in your own way, then that is really the best
way. Come
around.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said about if she's out there and, you know, engaging with other men and being her own person and, you know, moving on, that's when she will be the most attractive. And it does seem like when you're happy, just experiencing your life and doing your own thing, that's sort of when the people come into your life, you know, the significant others, because you're already whole and full, and that's mm-hmm. your most attractive. But you, like you, when you're pursuing it, sort of that need, especially mm-hmm. for an introvert, we don't really want someone who needs us, you know, a lot to complete them, because that seems like it's going to be a big expenditure of energy for us. But
yes,
if someone's already full, and that's it. We all have needs, and we all, you know, are incomplete and flawed and different things. But if you can, you know, just have your own experience and be happy and feel whole when you come into relationships, that's just that much more of an advantage to having a really solid, amazing, you know, intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is, I could go on and on about
this. I know, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
introverted
yeah,
women and flirting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's
there's
all
so
the time
many.
We have.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Brenda, for joining
yeah.
us. I really enjoyed that.
Me too. That was fun.
Lots of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us. For Introvert Talk Sundays. It was our pleasure. So this is going to be a regular thing. Probably every other Sunday I'll be having an introvert expert on the broadcast with me, so do keep an eye out for that. And I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your Sunday and your week to come. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.